You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. I like that song. It's for all the faithful gathered underground. Faithful people who are in Christ. There's only one Holy Bible. There's only one Holy God. God promised a perfect Bible, and that's the only one we use. Do you know what the perfect Bible is? There's a pile of about 200 things called Bibles in English now, one of which is the Holy Bible that God promised every word in it would be perfect. Do you know which Bible that is? You know, there's 200 things out there called Bibles now. Hey, amazing. Okay. All right, we'll go to the Word of God. That was given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Moses. Look, Moses did not make it up. Come on. I mean, the elevator don't go to the top that would have anybody ever think or say that Moses made this up. No, it was the I Am. He said, who should I say sent me? Tell him I am that I am. I am that I am. Tell him I am hath sent thee. The Eternal One, born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Creator and the Redeemer. The express image of God. The only true God. There's a world full of false gods. You got a billion Muslims following a prophet of Satan called Muhammad, who was put in the religion business by Vatican Roma to kill people of the book. People of the book. Rome and every other religion of Satan cannot stand that book. The book of truth. The only way in which truth can be proven, even as it relates to science. The science of the Holy Bible is so far beyond science that science can never hope to catch up with it. I have good news. There's not a whole lot of good news available in this Antichrist world today, but I have some good news. The King is coming. When you see these things come to pass, which we are seeing like no people have ever had eyes to see, could possibly see, we're seeing it. And when you see these things come to pass, our King said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I think that's why I like that song so much. Because that's what it's called, the Song of the Redeemed. So let's go to the more sure Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban, and Hazeroth, and Dizap. There are 7 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. It's important we understand the meaning of this word Israel. Sure, it's a nation. And thank God it's a nation now where it always has been, along the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea, north of Egypt, south of Lebanon, and west of Jordan. Now, part of Jordan should be part of Israel, too. And this insanity that they're coming up with, that they're planning to do in the United Nations, which are united to destroy Israel, is the specific event that God said would cause his fury to come up in his face. I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine anything more fearful or awesome to think about than the God who is almighty, who had the power to hang this universe on nothing other than the power of his word, the God who said, let there be light, and there was light, to have that one God have his fury come up in his face. And that's what they're planning to do this September in the United Nations, which are united to destroy Israel. That's very important. We understand Israel. The basic meaning of Israel, it's the name of the family of God. It's God's great and holy name that he got himself in the earth when he led his people out of the bondage of slavery to freedom. It was the Lord Jesus Christ in that pillar of day, pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. The God of Israel. That's the one true God in a world full of false gods. And Israel is the name of the family of God. If you're born again, you get the privilege to surname yourself Israel, just like Mary Israel. Hallelujah, I love it. And Chuck and Joanne and Jamie Israel. And all of us have, if we are truly born again. And that's what being born again means. It means you become part of Israel. Jacob wrestled with Jesus. That's who he was wrestling with. He wrestled all night. And at the end of it, he came to conclude that Jacob was not some sort of little god unto himself, but that he did have a hold of God. And he said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. He said, okay, I'll bless you. Your name will no longer be called Jacob, trickster, liar, cheater, dirty guy, but it shall be called Israel. Because as a prince, you have power with God and with man. And we see the same thing in John, chapter 1, verse 12. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, Israel, part of the family known as Israel. Even to them who believe on his name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. How it all fits together. There can be no possible difference between the gospel of redemption as Moses was given to record it and that which Paul was given. Or that the apostles were given, because it's the same Redeemer given him that gospel of redemption. So here we're looking at when the gospel of redemption was first given by this same Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am, to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he spake to the people in the 40th year, 40 years, 40 years. Those 3 million hardheads drove Moses up the wall. Poor guy. Can you imagine the problems Moses had to deal with trying to lead that gang through the wilderness? And this Tuesday is Tish B'Av. And that was the day that the spies returned with an evil report. The majority's always wrong. Have you noticed that? I hope you've noticed that. The majority is always wrong. Don't go with the majority. Go with the few who will be saved, because the majority's going to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. Don't forget that. Every one of us deserve to go to hell. But thanks be to God by the great redemption work which he accomplished. We're not going to get what we deserve. And if you think about our King and what he has done for us, there ought not be anything that he can ask us that's just too big a deal, including getting our heads chopped off, not agreeing to take his mark, because we don't die anyhow. We don't fight fair at all. We don't fight fair in this Antichrist war on the saints at all. But it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. And what he was given to speak was given to him by God. And we are the children of Israel if we're born again. So this is to us. And we need to have ears to hear. Because he was speaking the words that God gave him to speak to us. Transcending time, perhaps much more important to us today than it ever has been.
Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashrath and Edrei, on this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, now understand where he's at. He was in part of the land of Israel, the promised land, that the only true God, the God of Israel, promised to give to his people Israel. Now where is he at? He's on the east bank. Now if the east bank is supposed to be part of Israel, you better know the west bank is also supposed to be part of Israel. And God said so, and guess what? If you're going against that, you're going against God, and guess what? I'll tell you right now, if nobody else will, you're going to lose. But that's where Moses is speaking this. He's speaking this from the east bank, if there is such a thing as the west bank. He's speaking from the east bank. Part of the land of Israel, God, the only true God, the God of Israel said so. You go against that, you're in trouble. Probably don't even have sense to not know it. But we're going to listen to this. We're going to pay attention to this. Because it relates to things, big things, happening right now in our world, wherever we may be. These things will have a big effect upon all of us. It was there that Moses began to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, and in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Now, if you don't like this, you're going against God. And that will yield a very bad future. This has not changed. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great, and ye shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. And that hasn't changed. What Moses commanded then to the people of God has not changed. Yes, there is an old covenant and there is a new covenant. The new covenant has some better things in it. A better priesthood, some better promises. But that which was given, which has come to be known as the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, is still a perfect covenant. Oh yes, there was nothing wrong with that covenant. And it's still in effect and still fully enforced, except for those portions containing the better priesthood, the better way of cleansing that was provided by the new covenant, and the better promises revealed by God to his people in the new covenant. But everything else in the old covenant, it still applies. You see, God's a perfect God. He never does anything except perfect. He is good and defines what good is. So don't think for a second, and don't let anybody ever tell you that that old covenant has been done away. No, no, no. It was a perfect covenant. It is still fully in force. We have a few better things. But wasn't there a fault found with that old covenant that necessitated the new covenant? Oh, yes, there was. But it wasn't a fault found with the covenant. No, it was found. The fault was found with the heart of the people. The people didn't have a heart to do what God said they should do. That was the problem. And you can study this law given to Moses till the cows come home. And God knows I've studied it. And you will find nothing in it to be a provision for the willful sin. There's no provision in the law of Moses for the willful sin. And guess what? We've all been there, haven't we? Every one of us, including Abraham. And that's why Abraham did prophesy that God would provide himself a lamb. And John Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." And Moses said to the people of God, and he's saying to us today, "I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do." Most people have forgotten what God commanded the people of God to do by his servant Moses. And they need to get back and find out what that was, because they're in trouble and they don't have sense enough to know it even. Otherwise. "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness." Now this is something that we should find to be of great encouragement in this Antichrist war on the saints. 40 years. They were in the most desolate wilderness on planet Earth. 40 years. And God provided for them. If God could take care of those 3 million people in that wilderness of Sinai for 40 years, where nothing grows, there is no water, only snakes and scorpions and some insects are out there. If he could take care of them for 40 years in that wilderness, don't you think he can take care of you and me for 42 months? Don't you think that? I think that. "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us." Yeah, even that's part of Israel. It's supposed to be. God said so. "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it." Now, look at this. They are to possess this land for the God of Israel. The land is supposed to be called Israel. And the people of God, who are Israelites, are supposed to possess it for the God of Israel. It's not theirs. They're to possess it for him. They are not free to wheel and deal with it. And the oligarch, Satan, has no claim to it whatsoever. And if they're going to do the job that they're supposed to do, and if we're going to support and say that we are Christians, then we must of a certainty say that Israel, and only Israel, is to possess this land, and any Arab living under the sovereignty of the nation of Israel needs to get out. Go someplace else. And any godly person will say that. And any person not saying that today is not a godly person and does not know or care what God said. Child of God, they're getting ready to do the very thing that said God said would cause his fury to come up in his face in September. If there ever was a time to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, brethren, it's now. And this is an important word we're looking at this morning. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near to me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and unto what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they went and they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents. Have you ever murmured, child of God? Have you? Child of God, think now. Have you ever murmured? Don't do that. Your God does not deserve your murmuring. This is the will of God, that you would rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing, and in everything, everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And ye murmured. God doesn't deserve your murmuring. And he hears when you murmur. Don't ever forget it. If you're murmuring, the God who never would deserve murmuring hears it. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. Oh, child of God, don't go there. Bad things are coming. But it's not because God hates you. He hates the sin. He hates the way people have rejected his instruction and disobeyed him and have not given any consideration at all to what he has said and hypocritically professed to be children of God. He hates that, but he doesn't hate you. No, you take a look at that cross. You take a look at that cross. Never, no matter what, never. You take a look at the cross, never doubt the love of God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, hath he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God hath bare thee as a man doth bear his son in the way that ye went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in. in fire by night to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day, and the Lord heard the voice of your words. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear. Saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before me, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it, the land of Israel. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapon of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spoke unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in the mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. But you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. He reigns.
Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days, and the Lord spake unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed to yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them. For I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy meat of them for money, that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Israel, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezon Geber, we turned and passed by way of the wilderness of Moab, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. And the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, I said, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzamims, a people great and many and tall, as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them, and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when they destroyed the Horims from before them. And they succeeded them, and dwelt in their stead, even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazrim, even unto Azah, the Captorims, which came forth out of Captor, destroyed them, and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee. We're going to see this happen again. Soon. Soon. Very soon. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, the king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwelt in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. And if you're opposed to the west bank, the mountains of Israel, Judea and Samaria, being under the sovereignty of the state of Israel, you are opposing God, and you will lose. Mark it down. You will lose big time. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee, begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. So a big part of Jordan is supposed to be part of Israel. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jaaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people, and we took all his cities at that time, utterly destroying the men and the women and the little ones, every city. We left none to remain, only the cattle we took for prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took from Aor, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us, for the Lord our God delivered all unto us. They had an opportunity to have peace. They were offered generous terms of peace and would not accept it. And we see this being played out again right before our eyes now in an even more grand finale. And remember, if you are against Israel and against Israel's right to possess the land which God gave unto them, you're against God and you will lose. The Lord our God delivered all unto us, only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thine hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 70 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey to ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan, the east bank. Not just the west bank, but the east bank. And from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call Shinar. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salcah, and Edrei, the city of the kingdom of Og in Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Reva of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was its length. That's a big bed. That bed is about 15 foot long. That's a big bed. 9 cubits was its length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it after the cubit of a man. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aor, which is by the river Arnon, and half of Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which is called the land of the giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob, unto the coast of Jeshui and Machdi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Hathachar, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Maker, and unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead, even unto the river Arnon, half the valley and the border, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also in Jordan, and the coast thereof from Chinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, the west bank. And then shall ye return, every man, unto his possession which I have given you. The west bank belongs to Israel. God said so. God gave it to him. And no man standing against what God has said and what God has done is going to remain standing when the smoke settles. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference between the true God and the God of the Muslims? The Muslims got to fight for their God. What kind of God do they have that can't fight his own battles? I tell that to them all the time. So, you know, you Muslims, I don't understand. Your elevator doesn't go to the top. You know, you're Allah God. He's a wimp. How come he can't fight his own battles? You know, if you got a God that you got to fight for, you got to get you one that can fight his own battles. You ought to use the brain God gave you and understand that the God that you call Allah is Satan. Vatican Roma put Muhammad in the religion business. And the God of Islam is the same God that was enthroned in the Vatican in 1963. The fallen archangel Lucifer was enthroned there in June of 1963. Don't believe it? Find Lucifer's Ten on the website. Also, you might check what is chiseled in stone that Brother Richard Chapman photographed for us. Good photographs. You know, it's a good thing you got those photos when you did, because there's been a lot of defacing, but those are good photographs, and you can read what the plan of these Luciferian Satan worshipers is. The plan is to kill 93% of the people on this planet for their God of death, the God of Islam, the God of the Vatican. Now, most poor Catholics don't realize that Lucifer has been enthroned as the God of the Roman Catholic Church. They need to hear the gospel. And the truth is that Vatican Roma put Muhammad in the religion business to kill people of the book. Jews, of course, and real commandment observant Christians. You shall not fear them, God said so. Don't fear them. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, the God of the Jews and Christians, he not only can fight his own battles, but he also rises up to fight for his people. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan.
but charge Joshua and encourage him. Brethren, this is something we all need to do now in this time. Encourage one another. If you know brothers and sisters in Christ, they need encouragement. So do you, but spend your time encouraging them. And don't murmur. Whatever you do, don't murmur. You know the will of God. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. Strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. For he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth-peor. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.